Luke chapter number 5. Let me share something here that just struck me, and not the first time it struck me, but it struck me once again and struck me fresh. I want to talk tonight a little bit about faith. Luke chapter 5, beginning to read at the first verse, we'll read 11. And we'll just kind of share informally, perhaps through these verses, particularly the main element, the main principle. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that is Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Notice here why they were pressing him. They were pressing him to hear the word of God. They were hungry for God's word. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And we'll find out a little later that the reason the fishermen were gone out of them is they had been fishing all night unsuccessfully. This is the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret. And it is morning, day, and they're washing the nets and getting ready for their next evening's fishing expedition. And he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter, and prayed him, or asked him, requested of him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, when he'd finished his talk, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or a drought, or a... It's got to be draught, isn't it? I mean, really, what is it? Is it draught? It's draught. Yeah, it's got to be draught. Which means a catch. Okay, doesn't mean dryness here. It means a catch. And Simon answering, now watch Peter's answer. Now Simon Peter is not yet the disciple of Jesus. He becomes Jesus' disciple following this event. The two ships there, one belonged to Simon and Andrew, the two brothers. The other ship belonged to James and John and their father, the sons of Zebedee. And so Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, notice what Peter is saying here. I think probably Peter is expressing us very much. When he said, Master, we've tried all this already, and it didn't work. We have gone fishing. Hey, I'm really flowing in the spirit here. I got a fish story too. You think that's a coincidence? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
It fish stories and other related miracles. I'm a prophet too. Catch that, huh? And isn't it wonderful we can have some fun in the house of God? We can enjoy ourselves in God's house without being disrespectful to the Spirit of the Lord. Simon's answer here, Jesus said, let's launch out into the deep. Notice the words, launch out. Stretch yourself. Let's go on out into the deep water. We're not going to catch any fish here close by the shore. You're a fisherman. Launch out. Stretch yourself. Let down your nets. And we'll get a catch. Peter's reaction is, I'm tired, Master. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. I have failed so many times, most recently, just last night. I fished all night long. I'm tired. I'm hot. I smell. We didn't catch anything. And now you say, launch out in the deep and throw your net in, and we'll have a catch. I don't know about you, but I felt that way myself from time to time. I think you have too. Disappointed, frustrated, because I've tried everything I know how to do, and it's not worked. But notice what Peter said. These are the words I want you to underline in your Bible. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I've tried this before, Master, and it didn't produce for me. You see my empty nets. I fished all night. But now I have your word on it. Now I have your specific word on this situation, and now I'm going to act on what you've said. Because I have your word, I'm going to let down the net. Mm. Well, that's what faith is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Acting upon the word of God. Faith is action based on a belief that what God said is true. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear God's word for you yourself. I'm going to say that again. You must hear God's word for you yourself.
Amen.
For unless you have God's word for you yourself, we call that in teaching circles the Rhema word of God, the living word of God. Unless you have God's word for you yourself, you've got it yourself, faith will never come. Faith only comes when you hear God's word for you yourself, personally. Peter said, I've been frustrated, disappointed, and I've failed. But now I have your word on it. And I believe that what you said is true, therefore I'm going to act like it. I think a great many Christians want to operate on the word that other people have. And when we try to operate on other people's word, we are consigning ourselves to a life of continual discouragement and continual frustration. If you don't get God's word for you yourself, you will never have the faith that will produce the appropriate action that will result in the promise of God. In my own personal life, allow me an opportunity to share a brief word of testimony. And that concerns the difficulty I was having in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I had heard the experiences of others. We used to come together every Friday night in a prayer group kind of environment over at James and Marianne Fulcher's house. And by the hour, we would be worshiping God, ministering one to another, loving the Lord and each other. And each Friday night, there would be some new person or persons who would be there who would be sharing their experience about how they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I would sit there and listen to their experience and try to figure out, okay, now what happened to them and how. And I was week after week and month after month agonizing because I had been unable to receive this. I was sharing the promise of it with others. They were receiving, but I couldn't receive. Do you know why? Because I did not have the word for me, myself. And so I began to search this scripture, and I wanted God's word for me, myself. He took me to Acts 2 and 38 and 39, first of all, because I had the misunderstanding initially that this was real. My wife had received it, some other people I knew, Marianne Fulcher and some other folks, and I knew it was real, but I didn't know that it was for me. I thought it was maybe for some special persons, not for everybody. But I read Acts 2, 38 and 39, which said that repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Ghost will be yours. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord my God shall call. Amen. Now, when I saw that, that was God's word to me for myself. I found out that that promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost, was for me. And so I changed my prayer. Before I'd been praying, Lord, if you want to give that to me, that'd be fine. I'd like to have it. Then I started praying, Lord, I know that that's for me because I'm one of those that you called. And so I'm one of those who ought to be having it. Lord, whenever you're ready for me to have it, just go ahead and give it to me. I kept reading in the Word. I read over in Luke 11 and 13. Where it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, so much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. I said, oh, that's God's word for me, and I got it myself. I must ask him. Okay, Lord, I want this. I know it's mine. I know you want me to have it, and I'm asking you for it. But I couldn't receive it because I didn't know how. Until I read in Acts 2 and 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the ability to speak or the words. Oh, that's how that is. And so as I got God's word for me myself, it took me 9 months to get it. But when I got it, faith rose up on the inside of me And I told you the story how I parked down a back road and just sat there in my car and said, okay, Lord, I want it. I'm asking you for it, and I'm receiving it, and here comes my response. And away we went. But it took all of those months for me to learn that faith only comes, not when I hear the word through somebody else and what it means to them, but as that word becomes mine personally. Peter said, I've toiled all night, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my nets. Now, what did he do? He let down the net, which is what Jesus asked him to do. Faith always equals, listen to this. Now, listen to this. Now, you'll get a key here. Faith equals obedience. Faith and obedience are synonyms. You may not believe God and disobey him. You cannot. They don't go together. Faith and faith and obedience are the same words. Disobedience and unbelief are the same words. Faith is demonstrated, James says, by our actions, by our works. And faith will always act on God's word. Now, the great miracles of faith that we see in the Bible always came as a result of the word of God and then action based upon that word, obedience to it. Here's one of the examples here. Nevertheless, I will let down my nets at the word. Now, what happened here in verse 6? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. There's a miracle. Now, here's, look over in Matthew chapter 14. I'll show you another example. There are many. But here's another one from the life of Peter. We'll take a couple of minutes and look at a few of these to just get the point, get the picture. I want you to know that a great many people are trying to live by faith without having the revealed word of God in their own life. And they're trying to live on the basis of someone else's word, someone else's faith, and it will not work. And there are a great many people who are in this move of the Spirit of God who are frustrated faith people. One of the things that you'll be interested in knowing, we've been studying from concerning this book, Seduction of Christianity, on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that the author of that book calls the Brother Hagin, Price, Tilton, Capps, Copeland, those guys, are faith teachers. But you will notice that they call themselves word teachers. Now, if you understand what I'm saying tonight, you will understand that they are both the same. For in order for a person to be a faith teacher, he must be a word teacher. And people who teach faith must teach the word. They'll either teach the word or they're not teaching faith. And whether you say faith or whether you say word, it's one and the same thing. Now watch here in Matthew 14 and beginning to read at verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, as you can well imagine, crying or saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Come, one word, but it was the word of God to Peter himself. Now that one word was sufficient to produce faith in Peter's heart. It rose up on the inside of him. Nevertheless, Peter would say, I have tried walking on the water and I always walk on the bottom. Nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to get out of the boat. And so Jesus said, come. All right. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, what did he do? He walked on the water. Now, here is the word of God, faith released in the word of God, action which demonstrated his faith, and the mighty, wonderful, powerful, miraculous promises of God were his. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And let me give you several examples here from the Gospel of John, briefly from the second chapter. Now watch how the word produces faith. Faith always is manifested in obedience, and that produces the result. the promise. The primary thing I want to get over to you tonight, however, is that we must have God's Word for us ourselves. You cannot live on the Word that someone else has. You must have this Word for yourself. It must be a living reality in your heart for whatever your need. I want you to know whatever your specific need is tonight, tomorrow, the day after that, the place you are to go to get that need met is not to your favorite prayer partner, not to your pastor, not to your favorite spiritual person. The place you are to go to is Jesus revealed in the Word of God. And you go like this, Lord, show me in the Word a promise on which I can hang my faith. John chapter 2 and verse number 7. Jesus is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. You'll remember the story. They ran out of wine. His mother says, well, son, let's take care of this. He says, get off my back, mama, because my time is not yet. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, and I'm sure he wasn't quite that crude. But the mother said, whatever he tells you to do, servants, you obey him. And so in verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now, what was that? That was the Word of God. The Word of God said, servants, fill the water pots with water. Now, the servants could well have said, well, they've had water in them many times, but it's never become wine. But see, this time they had the Word of God on it. Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now, what do you call that? You call that obedience. This is obedience that is responding to His Word in faith. It's faith that's producing obedience. And He saith unto them, draw out now. Now, watch this one. And bear unto the governor of the feast. And they laughed at Him. No, they didn't laugh at Him, did they? What'd they do? They did it. Why would they dip into the container and dip out water and take it to the governor of the feast and say, here's the wine? Because they had the Word of God for themselves. It produced faith within them. They acted upon that faith. And here is a tremendous miracle. Let's go to John 9. Now, you'll see this principle all through the Word of God. One of the things that those that do not understand faith do not realize is that genuine faith is always based on the Word of God. If it has any other basis, it is not faith at all. It is something else, and it will frustrate you and discourage you and confound you and cause you to be shamed. John chapter 9 and verse number 7, Jesus is ministering to a blind man. And after he had spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What's that? That's the Word of the Lord. That's the Word of God. The Word of God for this blind man. He had it himself. What did the man do? He went his way therefore and washed. Now that's obedience. That was obedience that is the result of faith. And what occurred in his life? He came seeing a great miracle. And lastly, let's go to John 21. Another fishing story. Jesus is raised from the dead. He's called these men to his work. But Simon Peter and the rest of the fishermen went fishing. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Seems like we've heard this story before, about 3.5 years previously, wasn't it? They fished all night. You'd think they'd have learned that that you don't want to go fishing without Jesus as your partner. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Do you have anything to eat? They answered him, no. It was honest. And he said unto them, watch this now, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find them. Now notice Peter does not say, but Master, we fished all night. We're hot and tired, and we didn't catch anything last night. Nevertheless, whatever you say, we'll do. This time, he didn't even put up an argument. They cast, therefore. See? He's learning, isn't he? And so, what did he have? He had the Word of God. Faith sprang up on the inside of him. He acted upon that. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Later on, we find out there were 153 big fish involved in that catch. Now, take it back to Luke 5 once again, and let me show you this final point. First of all, you must have God's word for you yourself. Faith always results in obedience. It equals obedience. Lastly, that obedience will produce an action that will bring the result of what he has promised. Verse number 6. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, this would be James and John, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that... I think you'll have to take the back seat on this one, Lois. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Sink two ships. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He had Isaiah's reaction. "Oh, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And that was just an indication of the size of the catch that Peter would bring in. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And that was the calling of those four men, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John. So, do you see that when they had acted, after they had put their faith into action, when they had obeyed the word of God, acted on what God had said, it was then that they had received the promise and had the result. Now, turn over with me to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I will share something with you here. As I was coming in this evening, one of the sisters caught me outside. Said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you something so that you can be praying for me." Well, I want us all to be praying for you tonight, Pat. But as she was sharing her need with me, and then as we were worshiping up here earlier, the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to my remembrance. Pat tells me that she's having a problem with her upper back and at the base of the neck, and it's such that she is not able to do her job in the way that she wants to be able to do it, and her employer expects her to do it. And if something doesn't happen here, she's got a genuine need, it could cost her job. And there may be surgery required and some different things to try to get that worked out. Well, I knew what I was going to be speaking on tonight, and I thought as we were praising the Lord here earlier about this passage from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to read it, but Pat, I want you to read it along with me, because I'm asking the Lord if he won't speak this to your heart, and if this won't be the word of God for you yourself tonight, as so that as we minister to you in just a few moments, that faith will rise up in your heart concerning this. Now, the story begins in verse 10. I'm in Luke 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, that is our master. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. Now, you know what her problem was. She had a demonically caused problem. She was oppressed with demonic spirits, and it caused her to be bowed over so that she could not stand up straight. She had a back problem. That was the manifestation of it. And when Jesus saw her, notice this about Jesus, about his compassion. When he saw her, something happened on the inside of him, and he called her to him and said unto him, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler, now see, that woman's name was not Pat Moore. But if you can believe this, Pat, Jesus was no respecter of persons. And if you can put that story plus what we know about God together, and if the Spirit of God will minister this to your heart, it will produce faith. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Religious people are notoriously uncompassionate. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Religious people are so bound up with their tradition and their observances and their rituals that they care nothing about the people. The Lord then answered him and said, whoo, thou hypocrite. You know, it's one of the things I like about Jesus. He was not mealy-mouthed.
No.
You don't walk into a man's church. When I say a man's church, I mean the pastor. In this case, the ruler of the synagogue. You don't walk into that church and call the pastor of that church, the ruler of that synagogue, a hypocrite. I mean, can you imagine what he was doing there? Hypocrite, even though he was one. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Even water your animals, your dumb animals. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham and having a covenant, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, there was a woman sitting in a chair right about in here one day, Pat, who was, she was my secretary at the time. And the doctor told her that she had a tumor in her female areas here, just a young woman, and about the size of a baseball, orange grapefruit, something like that. And on an evening where we'd had a service, the Spirit of the Lord just ministered to her. She went in the following Tuesday for the surgery. They took an x-ray before they did the surgery and they couldn't find anything. And so he began to, you know, all the doctors will, you know, examine you physically. And he couldn't find anything either, Jewish fellow. And that was down at Piedmont Hospital. And the husband called me that afternoon. They checked in at 2 o'clock, and by 4 o'clock they had determined that she didn't have it anymore and that the surgery wasn't necessary. And the husband called me just rejoicing and praising the Lord. They discharged her, and she had dinner at home.
Hallelujah.
So we know what God can do. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else in the congregation tonight that's in need of special prayer?